Good evening, brethren. This evening, I'm privileged to have the opportunity to share a portion of God's Word, and I thank the good church for that. As we studied earlier this morning, it's important to evangelize, and as Christians, we should take that to heart and do our part. This evening, I'd like to discuss God's comfort to us as Christians, and God's comfort is very important to us because we know that trials will come, difficulties will come, and God's comfort can help us get through those difficult times in our lives as Christians. So today I'd like to discuss some of the ways He comforts us through these life difficulties that will come. As we all know, God never promised us as Christians that life was going to be easy. He didn't promise us this. But as Christians, we are spared some grief and sorrow because we choose to live our lives in obedience to God's commandments, and we're spared the grief and sorrow that come from living a sinful life. We know that living a sinful life comes with consequences, and we're spared that because we choose to be Christians. Unfortunately, we aren't spared from all grief and sorrow in life. Recently, of course, we all remember, my family and I, we attended three funerals back-to-back of close friends and brothers in Christ. And one was in September, and the other two funerals in October, back to back. So my family and I, we continue to pray for the Ritchie family, the Bass family, and now the Shaw family, as was mentioned a while back. So in attending these funerals, though, I was reminded of how God, He comforts us in sad times. And in attending these funerals, I was reminded about that fact. And if we look at Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Acts 14, verse 22, Paul and Barnabas, they strengthened the souls of Christ's disciples by exhorting them to continue in the faith. And despite difficulties, he exhorted them to continue in the faith. And they said there, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." And as attending that funeral, I saw those tribulations there in front of me. These tribulations come in a variety of ways throughout our Christian living. I'm sure that almost all of us can remember the loss of a loved one in our past, perhaps. We can all remember that. And in remembering that loss of our loved one, we may still continue to feel that painful absence and the void that comes that was left there in your heart because of the passing of that person. And that's inevitable. That's going to happen. It's a part of living. I'm sure that several here in our audience, they're battling serious illnesses, some chronic illnesses that they have to carry day in and day out in their living. These are perhaps chronic illnesses that we must carry daily. And some present here today with us here, we have serious concern, perhaps, and a worry for our family spiritual well-being. As we all know, sometimes we worry about our relatives, their spiritual well-being. And that these are all things that God did not promise to spare us from just because we chose to follow His path. He did not promise that we wouldn't go through this. But despite not sparing us from these difficulties, God did promise us to comfort us. He promised to comfort us. And we see this, and we see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If we turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, it reads, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now, if your heart is filled with grief and sorrow, God sincerely wants to be the God of all comfort to you. And through His Word, He tells us this. We know that God didn't promise us easy living, and to the contrary, God's Word tells us that we can expect adversity. We can expect it, and He doesn't say trouble may come. He says trouble will come. So it's not that it may, it will. And Job chapter 14, verse 1, a well-known verse, Job 14, verse 1 reads, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." So trouble's going to be there. as long as we're alive, trouble will be inevitable. And I personally, I pray to God, asking for comfort on behalf of suffering families and friends, and I know that you have as well, and we hear prayers that go perhaps something like this: God, comfort them in only the way that you can. And that's a phrase that we've heard said before. And this evening, I'd like to explore the comfort that God provides to us as Christians today. And it's important to keep that in mind. How can we expect to be comforted by God? I think that it's important for us to recognize and understand the true comfort that we can expect from God as true followers of His teaching. One of the ways that God comforts His people is with the promise of His presence. God promises His presence to us. God lets us know that no matter how difficult the situation, He's always going to be able to be there with us through those difficult situations. Now, some misinterpret this and expect to physically see a sign or hear something to acknowledge the fact that God is there with them. But this isn't the way God operates today. It's not the way that God comforts us today. Perhaps He did that in the past. He doesn't do it today. The Bible confirms the fact that God is always with us faithfully if we're His followers. The Bible has been proven to be reliable time and time again, so we can trust His word. Now, it is true. It's a true accuracy in the Bible. It teaches accurately the true facts of God's divine wisdom, so we can rely on that. And it's from God, and it came to us through the Holy Spirit, of course. Now, if God tells us He'll never leave us or forsake us there in His word, then we can confidently accept this as a true fact of life. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll see that Paul described some of the great trials and tribulations that he and his followers were going through. He described those trials and tribulations. And through these great trials and tribulations, Paul recognized the need to rely on God instead of relying on human efforts or on his own efforts. He shared this powerful fact with the Corinthians brethren back then, but this powerful fact still helps us today as Christians to recognize that as well. If we look at, if we look at Psalms 34, verse 15, Psalms 34, verse 15 reads, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry." Now, there's no place so dark or so far away and secluded there that God doesn't see or hears His righteous followers. No, He can see and hear them anywhere they are. God is able to both see and hear us if we're faithful to His will, of course. Now, despite the fact that God's righteous followers may feel extremely alone, they're really not alone at all, because God is always there with them. Now, God is always there with us, provided we do His will, of course. In reality, we're not alone there. If we look at 34 of Psalms, chapter 34 of Psalms, further on 16 and 17, we'll see that it reads, "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." Now, it's comforting to know that God tells us that when we're grieving in sorrow and worry, that He sees us and He hears us. But not only this, He draws near to us as well. The presence of God abides with His people because He loves them so much. He shows His love throughout the book, throughout the Bible. The Bible is full of examples of the love that God has for His faithful followers. But something else we are comforted by is the promise of God's providential care. We have the promise of God's providential care. God doesn't just say that He'll only be hearing and seeing us when we're going through these difficulties. God also says He will deliver the righteous out of all their troubles. Now, we just read this in Psalms 34, verse 17. But we can boldly go to God in prayer with petitions and supplications because on behalf of our sick, perhaps, or on behalf of those that are brokenhearted, we know that our prayers are not in vain when we pray to God for them. Even though we know that God doesn't work miracles today, back like he did in the first century, he continues to work on our behalf. And he works on our behalf in a way perhaps that we don't understand in detail, but God works in our favor through his providential care towards us. It takes place today just like it took place back then. We can see God's providential care there mentioned in 2 Timothy, if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 11. We see God's providential care there. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10 through 11 reads, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." So we see here the Apostle Paul was rescued or delivered from his persecutions and afflictions thanks to God's providential care through Jesus Christ, of course. He explained God's providence firsthand. He experienced that providence firsthand right there, and we see that example there. But we also see Paul being helped by God's providence in Acts chapter 14, if we remember that. Acts 14, Paul's enemies, they were planning to stone him to death. But their evil plan was discovered, and he was able to escape. Now, how did the plan of stoning Paul get discovered? Well, that would be God's providential care. And we may not know the details, but we don't need to know all the details. We just need to know that God's providential care is just as active and real today as it was back in the first century. That's all we need to know there. So we may not always understand why God does what he does, but we can be comforted in the knowledge that God sees, he hears, and he rescues his followers from their afflictions, still today, like he did back then, provided that it is his will, of course. Now, another way God comforts his people is by using his power. God is powerful, as we know. He's all-powerful. And he can comfort his people by using his power. Now, when we say God is our comforter, he can't be compared to just a friend who comes to help us in our hour of need or trouble. He comes to help us as an all-powerful God that is unlimited with regards to power. He created the heavens and the earth, the universe. So we can't compare him to just a person coming to help us. Now, if we look at Psalms 55, verse 22, Psalms 55, verse 22 reads, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Now, the Bible shows many accounts where man chose to find help and refuge by placing their trust in humans versus God. And this verse says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord." It doesn't say cast your burdens on your fellow man. It says cast them on the Lord. When we fail to trust God and we trust man instead, we fail to recognize God's superiority. Now, if we know, God is with us all the time. He's able to be with us all the time. But man, he cannot do this. God is all-powerful, but man is not all-powerful. So there's much more comfort in knowing that our all-powerful God is there with us through our adversities thick and thin compared to being able to just trust on a man. If we look at Psalms 138, verse 7, Psalms 138, verse 7, it reads, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me." Now, God is powerful and faithful. When we feel perhaps dead in fear, we can be comforted by God's reviving power and his divine protection from our enemies. Now, what problem can someone have in their lives that's too big for God to handle? I don't think that we can think of anything if we recognize God's power. Genesis 18 tells us of the story of Sarah's miraculous pregnancy. If we'll remember the events, even though Sarah was an older woman that was past her childbearing years, God planned to allow her to get pregnant and have a baby. And if we'll remember the events, when Sarah first heard about God's plan, she laughed. Let's look at that. Genesis 18, verse 13 through 14. Genesis 18, verse 13 through 14 reads, "And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.'" And so here we see God the Creator asking, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Now, causing Sarah to have a baby wouldn't be a hard thing compared to all that God had done previously. He created heaven and earth. So being an all-powerful God can certainly be an incentive to those who choose to put their trust in Him versus putting their trust in man. Why not seek the strength and guidance from this all-powerful God for the comfort that we need? If we look at Psalms 118, verse 5 through 9. Psalms 118, verse 5 through 9 reads, "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." So at the end of the day, if we think about it, at the end of the day, there is a limit to what man can do. But God is limitless with regards to that. No matter how powerful or influential a man can be, he's not to be compared to the all-powerful God. There is no comparison. There is no problem that is beyond the power of God to handle. And this is why the psalmist says, "I will not fear. I will not fear," there in verse 6 there that we just read. So that's why we can have confidence in God over our difficulties. And sometimes we make our problems bigger than they really are, in a sense. The problem is that sometimes we see our problems from our perspective or from our wisdom, or from our own limited strength and power. And seeing them like that makes it look hopeless. So why not cast our cares to someone who is not limited when it comes to wisdom and power? God is limitless, not limited. So why not seek the Almighty God to help instead of relying on our own limited resources? Sometimes we focus too much there on our personal difficulties. Think of difficulties like perhaps problems at work, or maybe our chronic infirmities, or even the sadness of losing loved ones. We focus on that issue and we lose focus on the power that God has to be able to help us. We focus on the difficulties in our lives and think that it's a hopeless situation because we're using our own wisdom and our own strength to try to overcome them. But we must remember, though, we must remember that though these difficulties may arise, we're not alone. We have our great ally on our side. We have God on our side, provided we do His will. With God on our side, we can be victorious, of course. We can be victorious over any difficulty. We must not try to fix things on our own, thinking we can fix them without the power of God on our side to be able to get things done. So when we look at our problems from the perspective of having God on our side, things are not as hopeless as we thought. They're not. Now, another well-known fact that God comforts His people by is using us as individuals to comfort one another. And that's something that has been seen and mentioned previously. We already covered these verses, but I'd like to look at them again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again, verse 3 through 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 4 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now, it's important that we recognize that you and I are tools of God's comfort. We can be tools of God's comfort. Throughout God's Word, we see time and time again, example after example, of how God used His people to provide comfort to His people. And this is a fact that we all have experienced firsthand at one time or another. And I know that I've been comforted by God's people plenty of times in the past. My family and I, we just recently comforted the Shaw family with the loss of their loved one. So we see that example time and time again of how God uses His people to comfort His people. When we went to that funeral, our brother Bass, and he passed away, we comforted the Bass family. So we can remember accounts. I'm sure that you can think of plenty of examples where you have received, as well as given, comfort among God's people. It's something that's practiced commonly. And perhaps you've gone to visit a sick brother or sister in Christ there at the hospital, or perhaps at their home. And we see how that is shown. God uses us as tools to provide comfort. Maybe you got together and you cried together, or perhaps you prayed together about problems you've had or problems they had. Maybe someone confessed sin before the church and they felt no one was going to be able to speak to them again, but then there they are being approached by fellow brethren, showing them that comfort that they needed with regards to the love they have towards them, with regards to the assurance that they can have of being able to be helped, reassuring them of that help that they need. Perhaps a brother or sister in Christ has gone through a difficult situation previously, and they're able to share that situation with someone else that's going through that same difficulty in their lives at that time. That is that comfort that God uses us as tools towards each person. And perhaps as parents, we have that comfort come to us. I know my wife and I, sometimes, plenty of times, we've gotten help from brethren here with regards to our children having difficulties at the church building with the comfort that we receive, the encouraging words, and we're to do this. We receive that comfort and we appreciate it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, the God of all comfort is described in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, as using His people to provide that comfort that we all need at one time or another. And as Christians, we need to be willing to let God use us as His tools for His glory. We bear one another's burdens, and in doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ, as described in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It's only fair when we comfort one another to vice versa receive the comfort and also offer the comfort to others that are in need. We practice what we preach. We receive the comfort and we offer the comfort. So we must make ourselves available to use our wisdom and experience to help comfort the others. How many times have we seen perhaps tragedy strike in the life of a brother or sister in Christ, and then we don't see that, but sometimes we'll see how they overcome that, and then they help others that are getting that situation in the future and say, "I've gone through that. Let me help you through that. Let me share with you what you can expect and what a good advice would be for you to get through this difficult situation." So those that overcome perhaps an illness can share their encouraging advice with those that are struggling with that same type of illness as well. Now, I'm not saying here that God brings all this tragedy into our lives, but I know that He can help us overcome tragedy by way of His people being tools for His use, by allowing ourselves to be God's tools. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 11, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 11 reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the Lord of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to notice verse 9, there it says that the brotherhood experiences the same sufferings you may experience. And there verse 10 goes on to say that despite our sufferings that may last for a while, we can still be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled when it comes to our faith in God. So it is possible. We can help our brethren overcome what we have overcome to ourselves, and vice versa. There's the example there. So it helps others with regards to getting over their difficulties, just like vice versa for ourselves. Something that is needed, though, is to accept the offer of help from our fellow brethren that have gone through that difficulty previously. Now, some brethren will be going through a troubled time in their life, and they choose to isolate themselves from everyone, claiming to be a private person. Well, this contradicts being able to be a tool for God. You don't receive that help that you need. They claim they want to handle their problems on their own in a private way, but God wants us to be his family, and he wants us to, as family, comfort one another, which is contrary to isolating ourselves from one another. And so, we're to give comfort to our hurting brethren, and we can strengthen them by praying with them and giving them comfort and hope from the fountain of comfort and hope. And where is that fountain of comfort and hope? Well, that fountain comes from God's word. It comes from God himself. And this leads me to my last point. God comforts his people with his promises. He comforts his people with his promises. And if we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 reads, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." Some were the belief that those who died would miss out on the hope of salvation. In fact, some today believe that when someone dies, there's no afterlife, there's no judgment to come. That's what they believed. But this contradicts what the Bible teaches. If we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 through 18, a little farther up there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 through 18 reads, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and alive and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain still be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Friends and brethren, we can truly be comforted as God's people by the promises of hope that God provides through his written word. Here we see that God is comforting these grieving relatives here by making a promise to them. He is promising his grieving followers that Jesus will return and the dead will be raised. And the righteous will be with him forever. And he's telling them not to worry about them because they are not like those who have no hope. They do have hope because they were faithful till the end. The same can happen with us if we're faithful to the end. They are counted as dead in Christ. And this promise has God's divine guarantee. If we look at verse 15 right there that we just read, it says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." And this isn't human guarantee, it's a divine guarantee that we see here. And knowing that we can count on God's guarantee of hope, we can do what verse 18 says farther down there. It says we can comfort one another with these words. So we're to share God's promises of hope with those that are in difficulty and with comforting them as well. We can be comforted with God's hope of promises. God offers us many promises of hope that can console us and strengthen us as Christians today, as His followers, His people. So why not share these comforting words with our fellow brethren more often, perhaps? More often than what we're doing now. And God's Word gives us wonderful promises that helps us with our endurance. If we look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, Hebrews 10, verse 36 reads, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." I know personally at work, sometimes fellow coworkers suffer the loss of a loved one. Sometimes they get very ill or sick. I have coworkers that are battling cancer. And cancer is just getting more and more common nowadays. And so what I try to do is encourage them and console them with Bible verses that can lift them up when they're struggling. And I'm sure you probably have done the same thing with your fellow friends or relatives. You give them Bible verses that can encourage them and lift them up. Console them at the same time. And so we know that we can help comfort others and we can strengthen them through God's Word. Give them endurance so they can be faithful Christians by simply sharing God's promises. That's how so powerful, in a sense. It may not sound that powerful, but sharing those promises give them encouragement to withstand and overcome their difficulties. If we look at Psalms 119, verse 50 through 52, Psalms 119, verse 50 through 52 reads, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remember your judgment of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." When we find ourselves in turbulence, we should review God's promises again and again to be able to overcome the storms that can come our way. Doing this can help us be strong in the end. When our physical bodies, they seem to be deteriorating more and more, we can be comforted in God's promises. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, that although our outward man may be deteriorating or perishing, we should not lose heart because our inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's what's more important. We're talking about spiritual versus physical. And how do we renew our inward man day by day? Well, we can renew our inward man by studying God's Scripture daily and get stronger in our inward man day by day. Now, whether our adversity in life is heavy or light, we must always recognize that having Christ and His teachings in our lives is the key to finding God's promise of hope or reward, being able to find that. So God doesn't abandon His people when they're afflicted. No, to the contrary, He seeks to be the God of all comfort. And He seeks to be the God of all comfort to each one of us today. As Christians, as non-Christians, He wants you to come to Him, be obedient to His word, so that He can be the God of all comfort and share that comfort that we've studied this evening. And this evening we have an opportunity to be able to make corrections in our lives and be able to be right with God, to be able to find His comfort and share it with others around us. The lesson is for us, for all of us, brothers and sisters, and we have an opportunity right now for corrections for anybody that wishes to come forward. We invite you to come while the invitation song is led. Please stand and come forward if you're in need. Thank you.